Hey fam, it's Kanisha here, and you are listening to Fam Talk, where it's all about building relationships that are too big for small talk. Podcasting is something I've been wanting to get into for some time now, so I'm so excited to release my first episode. Each episode will feature a casual conversation I've had with a friend or family member. I've come to realize that there are some things you'll never know about a person until you ask. So it is the goal of this podcast to ask those questions, have those conversations, and encourage you and your fam to do the same. You can also check out my blog at famtalkpodcast.com, where I'll be posting roadmaps you can use along your journey to get to know your friends, family, and even yourself a little bit better. For this first episode, I sat down with the ever fabulous Cherish Joy. We talked about self-care, getting to know ourselves, and accepting others for who they are. So let's get into it. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so Cherish, I wanted to talk a little bit about self-care today. What are some things that you do for your own personal self-care?
I think one thing that has really been helpful to me, even as an extrovert, is realizing that I need alone time, like away from people. As much as I love interacting with others, sometimes I would find myself getting really, really cranky or really irritable. And I remember, I feel so weird like putting this out there now. I guess it's just a little bit, but I remember talking to my therapist and he asked me what I do specifically for myself, like every day, and I didn't have anything. And he told me that that was, first of all, not okay. And that I need to, you know, it's important, I think, just in general, to have that time to yourself. And so I think setting aside an hour sometimes when I get home before I do anything else, whether it's to be on my phone, checking Snapchat, or listening to podcasts, or just reading, or just doing nothing, it gives me a chance to center myself. And for me, that was something that I didn't know that I needed. But when I started sort of implementing that into my daily schedule, I found that it was just easier to manage stress and to, I guess, just be a more cheerful and authentic person. Because I didn't, you know, I think when you get into the habit sort of neglecting your needs sometimes, or not being aware that you're even neglecting it, you know, being on edge begins to feel normal. And making that switch for me was like, oh my God, I've been cranky for like the last 2 years, and I didn't recognize it because it became what I expected, or it became what I was used to. So to, I guess, summarize again, I think just making time for myself to have space to do what I want or to do nothing has been really helpful.
That's so interesting that you say that, because I feel like I kind of had the opposite problem.
Really?
Yeah. So this isn't really common knowledge, but last year when I had my concussion, as a result of that concussion, I was suffering from depression.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was like, I was online and I think I typed in my symptoms, or I was looking at something with all my symptoms, because like, I wasn't sleeping.
Google is there.
Yeah. I wasn't sleeping. I really didn't have an appetite. I didn't have any sort of motivation to do anything. I was very just drained all the time. I was able to hold on to my commitments, like going to work and stuff like that. But anything additionally outside of what I had told other people I would do, I was just not feeling it. And so I started going to see a counselor. So this year has been a lot of personal growth for me. I was kind of evaluating myself and evaluating my life and what I felt I needed out of life. So I was being a little bit selfish. Not necessarily selfish, but everything I've realized is kind of a balancing act. On one hand, you can say, there are certain things that I need to do for myself to make sure I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the flip side of that, which is the unhealthy side of that, is saying, mm-hmm. I need this to be okay. If things aren't this way, mm-hmm. I won't be okay.
It has to be proportionate, I think.
Yeah. And so I was realizing that I was limiting myself in the sense that I was saying, I need this and this and this to be okay. When mm-hmm. what I should have been working on was my ability to adapt to certain things. Because I was seeing how I was becoming a little bit limiting. In my life. Because if I'm at a place and I go somewhere and I don't feel like 100% comfortable, like the room to stretch myself, I was taking away my room to stretch myself and to kind of, you know, explore some of my insecurities, I guess, or areas where I didn't feel my most comfortable self.
I don't know. I find it kind of interesting that you, that you say that you like struggled sort of with, like, I guess, like self-limitations or like being too rigid in certain aspects, because I don't know, when I think of you, I sort of think of you as like the antithesis of me, who is like a type A personality all the way. I love control. I love knowing that things are the way that they are. I love hierarchies. I love clear roles and relationships, and like you seem so free-spirited to me. Like I wouldn't have expected you to say that.
Yes and no. I guess I am laid back, but I also like to have a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm INFJ, so the J is judging.
We have that in common.
And planning and all that. So okay. In that sense, like, I like to be able to know what's going to happen. I used to think that I was spontaneous, but I realize now that I am not spontaneous. I am adventurous, but I am not spontaneous.
I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I definitely like to have things in a certain order. Mm. And sometimes, just like in the past week or so, I've had another realization where I realized that I kind of need to let go at certain times in friendships, because I feel like in a lot of my friendships, I feel like I work harder.
I feel the same way sometimes.
Like, I give more.
So frustrating.
But what I'm realizing is that I need to kind of like sit back and give other people a chance to show up, because if I reach out every time I want to reach out, then I won't have the experience of someone else reaching out to me. Mm-hmm. And as like uncomfortable as that might be to be like, I want to talk to you, let me talk to you. Mm-hmm. But then that's one of those times where I might be like, but I always am the one to say, let me talk to you. But I just need to, you know, relax and let people, give people a chance to show up.
And I think that's really hard, because to tell yourself that is to, I guess, expose yourself to the aspect of vulnerability, where like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I care, but if I give them the space and then I find out that they don't care as much, it's just like, oh my God, what have I done? You know, it makes you reevaluate a lot of things, but, I don't know.
But it's very helpful to know
where
you stand.
Mm-hmm.
And then just realizing that certain people just communicate differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or certain people need different things out of friendships, out of relationships. And so we can't fault people for needing different things or for being a different person. Mm-hmm. You have to just you have to figure out who they are so that you know what to expect from them, so you're mm-hmm. not having unrealistic expectations for the type of person that they are.
Listen, my whole life has been like a series. And this not to make my life sound like the worst, because it's not. But like, I think that's something that I struggle with too, is like having really high expectations of a lot of people. And while it's great when they meet them, when they don't, being disappointed in people is not a great feeling for me, particularly because it's just like, I think it's worse like when they meet expectations and all of a sudden they don't, and it's just like, whoa, this sort of like upends not my whole belief system in a person, but like it really changes how I view them. And something like that happened to me recently, and I'm still sort of processing. But I was just like, I don't even know how to proceed because, and not to say that like this person, I've never had like arguments before, because that's definitely not true. I think with any long-term friendship, you know, you're going to have those experiences sometimes, or disagreements, what have you. But I guess they said something that was, to me, it affected me so fundamentally. Like, they should have known that saying that thing that they said would yeah. have been really hurtful. And they expressed to me that, hey, when they said that, they didn't necessarily mean it in that context, how I took it. But it's just like, but, you know, we've been friends for like 5 or 6 years. And like,
you know what makes me tick.
Yeah. So you know, I expect you of all people to know what, you know, because I mean, even, I don't know, I'm a big proponent of, I guess, the duality of closeness and boundaries. Like, there's some things, no matter how upset at someone, you know, if I love you, I will not say. Mm-hmm. And I felt in that moment that a boundary was crossed. And it's like, okay, well, I have a lot of love for this person, but, you know, I'm very upset. And, you know, we can, thankfully, we've matured enough to have conversations about it, but just because I'm still willing to talk to you and work through it, doesn't, you know, they asked me, you know, how long am I going to be upset? Because it's been a few days. And I'm just like, I don't know. Because sometimes I'm cool, and sometimes I think about it and I get so frustrated. I'm just like, you should have known better. And, you know, I'm trying to move past it, but there's a, I don't know. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I definitely get what you mean, because it's very hard for me personally to give up on friendships or let go of friendships that have changed, because I feel like I care a lot about people. I value friendships and I do my best to hold on to them. Mm-hmm. And so even when I'm hurt by a friendship or when I'm hurt, I still have care and love for people, so it's hard to
throw it in the trash.
Yeah, to move on, even if it's harmful for me.
Mercy.
Because there are times when
yeah,
you know, engaging with certain more people toxic. Is more yeah. Mm-hmm. You feel like I'm here, I need to help this person, but if they are hurting you more than you're helping them, then
it's not fair to
that's
you.
Not fair to, yep. So back to that self-care thing.
Yeah, and prioritizing, because mm-hmm. that's something I think I've learned also. I would always classify myself, you know, as a helper. I love being there for people when I can. I mean, of course, you know, I think more recently in the past couple of years, I've prioritized my own needs because I said I can't help anyone else if I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's part of my own personality. I love being there. I love organizing. I love orchestrating things, and not in like a manipulative way. Cause like that, I think the word orchestrating can has different connotations. But yeah, you know, it's a challenge, I think, sometimes to have all these feelings, because I, you know, when I hear you say that, it's like, you know, I have definitely hung on to things, and I don't know, I've got to the point now, because I've had a couple of friendships that were meaningful, but when I realized how toxic they were, I was like, okay, you know, we're done. But it's like it took a lot of personal growth for me to get to that point. And even afterward, you know, sometimes still if the person's name may come up in conversation, I have to like really force myself to be like, okay, be an adult. Don't throw shade, you know, just breathe and let it go. Because, you know, if you carry that, you know, that can stay with you longer, especially if depending on what the authenticity factor was, you know, of the other person. Maybe they've moved on, or they've used you for whatever they needed you for, and they've healed, but you know, I've internalized all this bitterness, you know, and I'm just like, that's not cool for you and your body. And that, you know, and it manifests itself in different ways. And it's like, you know what? I think part of prioritizing my own health and my own wellness, you know, means that I have to be more aware of how I let things affect me. And, you know, even as far as how I internalize things, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'm grinding my jaw. What am I stressed about? And it forces me to really get in tune with what's going on with me. Because sometimes even something will bother me, but I won't quite be able to put my finger on it until I sit down and I say, hey, what has my day been like? Or what has my week been like? Let me reevaluate some things. I'm like, oh, that's what's been bothering me. Like, it's been kind of on the back burner, making me feel kind of irritable. But, you know, if until I really think about it, I'm just like, ah, that's what it was. Let me deal with this now before it becomes a whole thing. And then, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, self-care and prioritizing your own needs in a healthy way. It's been a huge revelation for me personally, I think. Definitely.
I think that it's really important to do your own self-evaluation. That's kind of redundant, but do a self-evaluation kind of periodically to see where you are and where you want to be. Mm-hmm. I did this thing recently where I wrote down all of the things that I could think of that I wanted out of life. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, well, how would I deal with these things not coming to be? Or how would I deal with these things coming to be in a different form or fashion
than what I expect?
Because there's certain things that you think, okay, I need this out of life. But is there a way that you can get the root benefit of that thing that you are desiring in a different way?
So what you're asking is there a way to have the fundamental need met without the specific path that you've envisioned? Is that what you're...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think it's important to kind of look at the things that you want out of life and kind of open your mind up to imagine the possibilities for how that could be achieved. Mm-hmm. So that you're not locked into this, if this doesn't happen, my life won't be great. because that's really hard for me to like kind of let go of that vision for myself, because... you said you're a type A. I'm not type A, but in certain aspects of my life, I am a perfectionist. And what I see for my future, I want it to go a certain way. And so in that sense, it can be kind of really disappointing at times when things don't pan out the way that I have expected them to. So I think opening my mind up to think, okay, you know, this may not happen in this way, and it will be okay. You will get what you need out of life. May not be the way you want it, which sucks to say, but... it's one of those things that if you're not open to understanding that what you need might come in a different package, you probably will miss it.
Yeah.
I said that wrong, but you will probably miss it. Because your eyes aren't open to see. Mm-hmm. And the counselor that I was seeing, she was saying, we fear giving because we don't know where we will be refilled. Well, from where we will be poured back into. Mm-hmm. So like, if we feel like if we pour too much, then I will have nothing. But we just kind of have to trust that maybe we won't necessarily be poured back into from the same place we're pouring into. So, you know, I see this person in need or this friendship that I'm giving a lot to, and I'm pouring into this friendship, and I feel like this friendship should pour back into me when that may not be the case. And there may be another avenue that rejuvenated what's the word?
That was a good word.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like this very, like, she said, like, if you're looking forward to where you're pouring, you're being poured into from someone behind over there, but you can't see that because you're pouring this way. And just like the idea of, you know, trusting, kind of like a trust fall that...
Oh, those are the worst.
Right. Especially when you have a pesky little middle schooler try to catch you.
Whoa.
That likes to play too many games.
Listen, my spirit.
Yeah.
No, I was, as you were talking, I was thinking... you mentioned about having perfectionist tendencies. Mm-hmm. And this might come as a surprise to you, but I did not realize that I was a perfectionist till I was 21 in therapy.
Wait, what? That's what that is?
Seriously. I mean, I never, you know, I think, you know, maybe you know innately things about yourself, but until someone tells you something or until they put it into words and verbalize it, you know, it brings it more to the forefront. I had no idea. I mean, I know I was particular about certain things and, you know, I like things a certain way, but, you know, when I kind of was educated, I guess, on, you know, or yeah, oh, I guess to say that I was educated was correct, because then I went home and I read up a little bit more and I was like, wow, I can really identify with this label. And what it kind of helped me do, as we talked about before, was sort of keep my expectations in check, even as far as how I interact with the world and how I deal with things. Because I know, I mean, you know that I've dealt with depression and anxiety, and at times it's been like super intense. And even though I think back to like being in high school, because like, I mean, of course I'd started going to therapists maybe my junior year of college to deal with a few things, but thinking back at even past experiences as early as when I was like 14, 15, I was like, wow, this has been like a continuation of things. Yeah. And I just didn't have the vocabulary to call it what it was. And being able to then identify with it and read up and figure out different ways to cope, I think has been a real revelation for me. And it's just like, yeah, you know, and that's why I think, oh my God, especially in the Black community, like, not to like make this like a race thing,
yeah,
but like, it's just not, and I think mental health in general is just not talked about enough.
Yeah.
But specifically in communities of color where you are expected to, you know, be quote unquote, you know, be strong or be, you know, this ideal.
Even if an issue is realized, at times it's like not necessarily too late, but it could have been dealt with earlier, brought less pain. So just the idea of, you know, again, self-care throughout the whole the whole lifespan, throughout everything, before it comes to a head and it's a crisis.
Listen, my God. And that's not like, you know, I didn't have, I mean, I had the ability to access certain resources, and that my parents had insurance. And, you know, these things would have been covered, and probably my parents have great insurance, so it probably would have been covered 90 or 100%.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think culturally, even getting smaller as far as the categorization of being from a Caribbean background, like, these things are just not prioritized. And like you said, you know, junior year of college for me was a huge crisis. There were just so many things going on. The only reason that I sought out help, I think, was because I literally could not. That's the end of the sentence. I literally just could not. I could not deal with it on my own anymore. And, you know, I had friends, but it's just like, you know, you kind of, I mean, not that you have to be careful who you tell things to, but, you know, I think there's a point where talking to a third party who is qualified and who is impartial and who has no personal stake, you know, in your life, you know, who can give you an unadulterated opinion about something, you know, is really important. And I tell you, like, it's, You know, sometimes I look back and I'm just like, man, you know, if I had known and if I had been able to have that continuation, my life would have been totally different. But then again, you know, conversely, you can't think like that because you can't change what has happened to you. And not even to allude that, you know, my life has been like, that I've suffered through like, you know, huge trauma, like I haven't been molested or anything like that. Like that's, or I haven't seen anyone killed in front of me, but like, there are other things that, you know, you carry with you.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, high school is awkward enough. Like, it's awkward as hell because your body's doing all this weird stuff and, you know, you're just in a weird sort of place, you know, with hormones and everything else. But you know, it to have those resources would have been great. But I guess I am thankful for the fact that I was able to recognize, because some people, you know, will just have a breakdown. And thankfully, I didn't quite get to that point, although I think I was fairly teetering. Close. It was touch and go for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like I am very grateful. Yeah. I am very grateful that I was able to access the resources that I needed when I got sort of to my breaking point, and I didn't wait, because some people, you know, don't have that luxury. And it's even sad that it can be considered a luxury to have access to mental health resources.
And even the idea that even if you do have access to a person, or maybe you're on campus and you can go to the health services department and clinic, speak to someone, it's a very personal thing finding someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, for me personally, like, I can't just talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. I can't just say, okay, I'm gonna make an appointment and talk to this therapist,
months of build up,
and then feel comfortable, because I have had experiences. I went to see two other therapists before the most recent person that I went to see, and those two were disasters. I remember the first one, I went freshman year of college, and I left there every time. I think I went twice, because it was just like, I couldn't. I went twice, and every time I left there, I felt worse than when I got there.
Yeah.
I felt like the counselor was making assumptions about who I was.
That's really awful, because first of all, they shouldn't even let you leave if you're leaving worse or you're more in crisis than
And I think it's just because I mean, they might not have known that, because I do all of that internally. Yeah, I'm not very expressive in that way that you would necessarily be able to see so much that I'm in distress, unless I am like
I'm a crier.
Seriously in distress. Yeah, no, I didn't cry or anything. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel comfortable talking to him. And then the second person was so quick to fix. They weren't willing to listen. And so I wonder, like, there must be a better way to find someone to talk to. The most recent person that I went to talk to with, we actually found out that we have the same personality type.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that was very helpful. A lot of the things that I was vocalizing, she was like, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just such a marked difference in between those. Well, the first two, I'm going to lump them into one.
They were just
between
terrible.
The first experience and the most recent one, that I hope that there's some sort of answer to kind of finding someone, not only finding someone to talk to, having access to and to pay for someone to talk to, but finding a person to talk to that you feel comfortable. Like, what is the process for, like, I feel like it has to be some sort of like interview. Like,
you have to look on Yelp.
Talk. Yeah.
What are your reviews?
I'm going to talk to you. Like, who are you?
Yeah, trust you.
Yeah. And that's what I liked about the most recent person before we got into anything. She told me about herself.
Mm-hmm.
The other people? Oh, no. You don't even know anything about me.
And so I think that attitude kind of reinforces stigmas that, like, oh, I'm fine. Like, well, first of all, not everybody.
And I think that's something that with the most recent person, she was like, you know, I'm probably supposed to be here like the all-knowing, all-powerful counselor, but, you know, I have struggles too.
Yeah.
And I have things that I'm working on myself. Mm-hmm. And so I can give you wisdom based on my schooling and living life for
X amount of years.
So a lot of years, more than you have lived your life.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing that, like, you know, nobody is perfect. Nobody has it all together, no matter how much you... There's no pinnacle. There's nobody who has it all figured out. If they look like they do, everyone's still kind of figuring it out. And so we just have to know that and take some comfort from that and keep it pushing.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think for me, because I love cut and dry and clear answers, theoretically, of course, because life is not like that, you know, it can be frustrating, I think, to not necessarily have answers prepackaged with a nice crisp wrapping paper and a bow on top. But, you know, I think even realizing that, you know, everything is a little bit more fluid has been helpful. Even, I don't know, even as far as, I guess just making, you know, personal decisions, like you said, being okay with the fact that things don't always pan out how you want them to, and it doesn't necessarily make them a mistake or bad or good. It's just different. Being open to that reality, you know, it's hard, but, you know, I think in the long run, and I don't want to make it, I don't want to use the word realistic because I feel like that has a negative connotation in this context. Yeah. But, you know, it's, I guess
I'll say, open.
Yeah, it's liberating open, because you don't tie yourself down to just one
version of the future.
Yeah, it opens your eyes to other things that can be just as fulfilling or more fulfilling than what you anticipated. And that's a lesson I'm still learning, much to my chagrin. But, you know.
So as we're bringing this conversation to a close, what would you tell someone who's feeling like they're bordering on a crisis?
I guess one thing that I found helpful or useful was that, you know, I guess just learning that everyone goes through things. There's no shame in asking for help. And you don't necessarily want to wait until things are at a crisis point before you seek it out. Because the earlier you go, the more options you have, the more clarity of mind you have to deal with things. Because sometimes I find that, you know, if you wait till it's that point, you know, and it's, you know, an emergency, you're kind of limited, I think, sometimes in what you can do about it. Because, you know, your state of mind could be different. You could be frazzled. You could be super emotional, like I always am. But yeah, you know, if you're able to recognize things and deal with them, the earlier the better, because you have the opportunity to access more solutions. And sometimes it can be an easy fix. Well, and I say easy, you know, in context, but sometimes there are just more steps you can take, more direct steps you can take, if you can realize what you need to get done earlier in the process, as opposed to waiting to have a breakdown. And then, you know, as it relates to school or love, because, you know, I think some, or anything else, sometimes like when you get to that point where it's like, all right, a decision needs to be made, like you can't avoid it anymore. Sometimes, especially when you're dealing with people, you know, you can make the right decision, but if you make it too late, you know, it, you know, that doesn't benefit both parties in the long run, you know what I mean? Or if it's like a thing with grades, like if you deal with something in October as opposed to December 1st, yep. The likelihood of you turning it around is a lot more, it's your odds are greater. Yeah. So hopefully that was a nice tidy soundbite to close with for you. But yeah, just, you know, try not to get to the crisis points, because crises are not great. They're not fun. And yeah, you know, there's lots of people out there that are willing to help. You just have to just reach out, because sometimes people don't recognize that you're going through something until you verbalize it. And there are lots of resources, whether they're community resources through your school or university, or maybe your parents are helpful, or some family member or some friend can help you. You just have to let it be known.
Yeah, the internet's a wonderful place.
Indeed, Google has diagnosed many a thing.
Yes.
I'm sure. Yes.
Well, Cherish, thanks for talking with me today. Yay.
My pleasure, girl. You know.
Oh, my God.
My parents are going to judge me for something.
All right, fam. That's a wrap. Thanks for hanging with us. The Self-Care 101 blog is up at famtalkpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at famtalkpod. I'll meet you back here in 2 weeks for another episode. But until then, I'm sending peace and love your way. Later, fam.